All right, here's a question. What are you doing tonight? If it's in Boston, it probably won't be happening too late because Boston isn't known as an all-night town. Even so, the city is exploring ways to promote more late-night activity.
For example, it's experimenting with late-night food trucks. The MBTA is testing late-night service. And Boston Mayor Marty Walsh has a late-night task force that's looking at a program to allow some bars and restaurants to stay open well past 2 a.m. The mayor and others see this as a way to make the city more attractive to younger people and even to foreign visitors.
But not everybody thinks all of this is such a great idea. Just this week, a Senate budget amendment that would have given the green light to a pilot program to keep bars and restaurants open until 4 a.m. failed to pass. But sponsors of the measure are continuing to push it on Beacon Hill.
In a moment, two views on the pros and cons of late-night bars and restaurants in Boston and what the city can do to develop a more thriving, innovative nightlife. But first, Michael Moran. He's a state rep from Alston, Brighton, and Brookline. He's also a former bar owner in Watertown, and he opposed that 4 a.m. amendment and joins us now. Welcome to the program, Representative Michael Moran. Good to have you.
Thank you.
Why are you opposed to keeping Boston's bars and restaurants open so much later, and what do you hear from your constituents on this issue?
Well, I want to be clear. I represent a portion of Alston, of Boston, which is the Alston-Brighton neighborhood, and I'm representing my community by advocating for them and saying that we do not want 4 o'clock licenses in our community.
Right, and tell me why.
Because we don't think it enhances the quality of life of the people that live here, first and foremost. And secondly, I just don't buy the argument that two hours later on a last call makes us a world-class city.
What about the mayor's argument that this is a way to make the city more attractive to younger folks? He also mentioned recently more attractive to foreign visitors who are used to late-night restaurants and bars.
Well, I would just say that the city of Boston's population is increasing. It's increased in our last census. I don't see any shortage of tourists wanting to come to the city of Boston. So, the real problem here for me is that the way this is being done, that there is a late night task force put together, but it's put together with the idea that we already should have a late night. We already should have last call at 4 o'clock in the morning. Hmm. They're already going into it that's what they want. They're not asking, is this something we should do? They're going. It's made up of, if what I read is correct, of restaurant and bar owners. Well, I would be surprised if they didn't want a 4 o'clock last call. So, I think that there's a voice that isn't being heard in this argument. I think there's a tremendous amount of civic groups across the city and neighborhood groups across the city whose voices are not being heard on this issue. I can only speak for my own community, but my community's voices are not being heard on this issue. And the way it was done in an outside section of the budget, and then last night filed by a person who lives in Brockton as an amendment into an economic bill isn't very transparent, and it really is not the proper way to go about changing this type of policy.
So it sounds like Mr. Moran, that you're advocating for what? A sort of larger, more transparent conversation about the merits of this proposal?
Absolutely. You couldn't have said it any better. I'm not saying that potentially late night bar rooms and restaurants couldn't happen. What I'm saying is what we're presented with is just let us do it. We'll take care of it. And I don't believe that that's the way to do it, because I can tell you that in my community, we don't want 4 o'clock. Mm. But I can't speak for the whole city. I don't know what the North End or what the Back Bay and Beacon Hill or what Dorchester wants. But I think that their voices should be heard.
Well, let me ask you finally, just to go into a little more detail about what you hear from your constituencies. Why don't they want it? I mean, is this just a concern about safety in the neighborhood, about people being loud into the wee hours of the morning? What is it?
Well, if you live near or in my case represent a community that has as many liquor licenses as we do, you see how it drains your public safety dollars and your public safety for the residents that live in those communities. You also are fearful that this is going to bring problems because we don't know how it's going to be implemented. If you do 1 or 3, 4 o'clock last calls in our community, you're going to have surrounding communities of Watertown, Newton. They're going to be rushing into our community to get a last call at 4 o'clock in the morning. Obviously, that means driving in most cases, which I'm very fearful of. So there's just a lot of issues that are surrounding the 4 o'clock last call that haven't been ironed out, and I think can only be ironed out in a process where everybody has a voice at the table.
All right. Well, that's Representative Michael Moran. He represents Alston, Brighton, parts of Brookline. Michael Moran, thanks so much for being on Radio Boston. We really are grateful for the ideas you put on the table here.
Thank you, folks.
Okay. And listeners, you heard it there. Michael Moran asking for a more sort of wide-open conversation about this. That's what we want to do right now. What do you think about this question of how to make Boston a more of a late-night city, specifically the idea of keeping restaurants and bars open well past 2 a.m.? Good idea or not? What's the harm? Let us know what you think about this and about other ways to develop this city's late-night identity. Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also tweet us and comment on Facebook at Radio Boston. And joining us now is Ed Glaser. He's a Harvard economist and a columnist for the Boston Globe. He wrote a piece recently for the Globe advocating for robust experimentation with keeping bars and restaurants open later. And today he joins us from Washington, D.C. Ed Glaser, welcome back to Radio Boston. Good to have you.
Great to be on. Thank you for having me.
And joining us here in the studio is Dr. Tim Namey. He's a staff member at the Boston Medical Center, associate professor at BU School of Medicine and Public Health. He wrote a response to Ed Glaser's proposal, calling it dangerous. And Tim Namey, welcome to you. Good to have you.
Thanks so much for having me.
And Ed Glaser, I'd like to start with you. We talked to you a lot about your views on how to make Boston more vital, more innovative. What does the city gain from keeping bars and restaurants open later?
Well, I think potentially it adds to the general buzz of the place. Now, I should say, you know, much of what I take away from this, I garnered when I was chairing the Citizens Committee for the Future of Boston 2 or 3 years ago, and I was amazed by the number of people in their 20s who complained over and over again about how they were paying New York City level prices without having New York City level fun. Now, I'm the parent of 3 small kids. I don't see the far side of 10 p.m. very often, so this is certainly not an issue with which I'm deeply acquainted. But I was amazed by how often this issue came up, and when we see it coming forward again in the legislative process, I have a lot of concerns about what can go wrong here, but I think it is an area in which it makes sense to potentially experiment and potentially to learn what those costs will be.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about, and you outlined this about a week ago in the Globe, you advocated for better nightlife through experimentation. So how would that work?
So I think this is coming in the wake of the MBTA's Night Owl service, which what's great about what the MBTA did is they didn't start out by thinking they knew the right answer. They said, let's try it for a while, let's look at how many people take the service when we run it, and then we'll make a final decision later. I cannot emphasize what a tremendous positive step this is for government, that we start not by thinking we know the answer, but thinking that what we're going to do is we're going to gather evidence, so we're actually going to have fact-based government, which is just a great step forward. So in the case of late night service, and I should say that I'm piggybacking on the idea that there already was this plan to have there is a late night task force, which I have nothing to do with. There is this idea of developing something. That look, if you're going to have, and I can't tell you how sympathetic I am with what Representative Moran just said. If you're going to have an experiment, then you should have an experiment that delivers information. You shouldn't try to just put the late night service in whatever area is safest or whatever area is politically convenient. You should try to do it in a way so that we actually learn whether or not the areas that have, whether or not the lightening of the hours actually really does create substantial neighborhood nuisances, does create potential risks of a variety of form. And the plan that I put forward is take some narrow area of the city, an area that's very far from key residential districts that has abundant access to public transportation, and then cut it up into sub-areas and give some of the sub-areas late-night licenses and the other areas not, temporarily, just to see how it works.
But that way we'll have real
treatment and control group.
And so through this process, you'll gather real information and real data, essentially, about crime statistics, the lack of crime statistics, whatever it is, right?
Exactly.
That's the idea. Well, Tim Namey, let me come to you. What are your primary concerns with this idea of better nightlife through experimentation? I mean, why not gather data and just see what works and what doesn't work?
Sure. Well, I support Ed's call for science, and I'm a researcher, and my area of expertise, in addition to being a physician, is in the area of alcohol policy. So just in general, I'm happy and in favor of doing research on things when they change. But I think what's been lacking, and Representative Moran alluded to this, is that we actually know a lot about this topic already. So before we do an experiment, let's all be cognizant of what we already know. And when I worked for the Centers for Disease Control on their alcohol team there, we did one of the comprehensive reviews of all the studies from developed countries about what happens when you extend so-called on-premises, meaning bar and restaurant serving hours of alcohol. And not surprisingly, there's a very robust, you know, international evidence from developed countries, including from the U.S., that the results are quite predictable and as we expect, and that is it's increases in problems, and problems of the nature of emergency room visits and drunk driving and assaults and those types of things. So that for each 2 hours you increase or delay the closing times, it corresponds to about a 15% increase in those types of problems. Hmm. So again, if there are changes, I'm not against the idea of further studying them because, of course, the context, and it may be different in different cities or in which areas that it's implemented. But I think we already know enough to know what's going to happen. So I guess as somebody who's concerned about public health, I would say if we should do experiments, we should try restricting hours of sale and actually enforcing the alcohol laws that we do have on the book in order to find out how we might, you know, change things in a safer way without sacrificing the health and well-being of the citizens of Boston.
Well, Ed Glaser, come back into this conversation because interesting point from Tim Namey. He's saying we know what happens. Why experiment with stuff that we know, you know, has bad outcomes?
I think no one thought that drinking later at night was likely to be good for your health. I think, as in many cases, there are, you know, health is one of the outcomes that we care about. It's not the only outcome, and you know, people clearly want to go out drinking at night, or at least they claim to, regardless of the fact that no one ever thought that drinking was equivalent to going to a health spa. I think the question is, how big are those health consequences going to be, and how do they weigh off against the other benefits of letting areas stay open later? I don't think we have a clear notion of what those costs will be for Boston. I'm not sure that in any sense we can generalize from national or international evidence to know exactly what's going on. I do favor doing something that is limited in a way that makes the potential downside risks as small as possible. But I think that this is not an area in which we know the right answer. And I think that once again, as in so many cases in life, sort of a humility about the state of our knowledge is really critical.
Sure. Tim Namey, one of the things that Ed Glaser alluded to, and he pointed out in the piece that he wrote, that some well-licensed areas where there are a lot of licensed bars, like the North End, crime is low and they have relatively few problems. And there are other areas with few licenses, not a lot of drinking going on, where the crime is very high. So does that suggest that maybe we don't know exactly, you know, what causes what?
Well, I would certainly agree with the premise of the question and with Ed that, of course, there are variations from place to place, and it doesn't mean that every place with more outlets or later hours necessarily is going to have proportionately or disproportionately more or less problems, because there's a number of mitigating factors. But actually, the North End offers a very good case in point about how more responsible regulations can reduce problems. So most people who go to the North End, for example, are going to restaurants, not to bars. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand that the distinction between the two is often blurred, and it's depending on how one is defined. But in fact, most of the alcohol licensees in the North End are actually closing early. They're not staying open till 2 o'clock, let alone 24 hours a day. And by the way, the legislation that was proposed was not till 4 a.m. It was indefinite. So most of the places in the North End are not staying open late, and that's from a combination of their business models. They're primarily restaurants, and they're not catering to late-night drinkers. And because there's also very active local control from North End civic groups who also limit, my understanding is it limit the hours of sale. And as I understand that the same North End civic groups are bitterly opposed to increasing the hours of sale.
Well, let's take, we've got a lot of listeners who are really interested in getting in on this conversation. We put a question on Facebook, and I'm just going to read this from Jose Michael Rodriguez. The fact of the matter is that late night services are a given in major world-class cities. Bostonians, elected or otherwise, keep telling anyone who will listen that we are a world-class city. My answer to that is always, yeah, till 2 a.m. in the city and 1 a.m. in the suburbs. So he asks, will it cause public safety concerns? Yes. Will it cause budgetary concerns? Yes. But he says, plan on it and go for it. So there's there's a perspective from one of our listeners on Facebook. Let's go to Lisa, who's calling from Roslindale. Lisa, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Very well. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I'm all for the idea. I've lived in Boston most of my life, and I'm all for the idea of this being a more fun city. I'm not at all convinced that drinking later will fix that. There are other things that we could be doing as a city, and it sort of bothers me that the task force was automatically a late-night task force and not a sort of revitalizing task force. And just to give an example of what I'm thinking of, when I was living in Chicago, I worked on Navy Pier. I mean, their waterfront is much smaller and less interesting looking than ours, and yet they had a theater, a movie theater, a shopping center, a Ferris wheel, for crying out loud. And we have a convention center and a bunch of hotels and a lot of really empty condos.
All right, Lisa, so you're talking about, rather than just focusing on late-night bars, a sort of broader idea about vitalization, late-night vitalization. What do you think, Ed Glazer? What do you say to Lisa?
I'm all for more fun in the city of any form. I think it was sensible that they have a task force that was dedicated on this particular topic. I think, actually, if you gave a task force like this too large a scope, you would get nothing that's actually usable. So I want to push back on the notion that this task force should have done something else. But I think more generally, she's exactly right, that, in fact, there's so many ways in which the city can be thinking about making itself more exciting in lots of different areas. And I think it is doing that. I think this is actually high on the Walsh administration agenda. And I think it will actually make positive strides in this direction.
Ed Glazer, I'd like to ask you to, you know, Michael Moran brought up at the top of this segment this idea that his problem with the task force was that it sort of had its mind made up, and now it's just a question of how to implement it. Do you think that's right? Is that a fair criticism?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think there's a reasonable... I'm entirely on the side of the representative of saying that this needs more discussion and it needs community input. It's not an unreasonable thing to have a task force that says, look, if you were going to have an experiment, here's what it would look like. Mm-hmm. And then you can have a larger public debate about whether or not you want this experiment. So I think that's at least one view of what this thing is. It's not everyone knew that the task force wasn't designated by the Commonwealth as the agency that would get to make this call. I mean, the representative gets to make this call. So I think actually having a task force designed on focused on implementation is a perfectly sensible thing. But it's certainly critical that members of the community get a chance to weigh in before anything is passed.
Let's go to George, who's calling from Waltham. Hi, George. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you? Listen, when you travel internationally and when you go out to eat in Madrid at 12 at night or 1 in the morning, and you come out of a nightclub at 5, 6 in the morning, you're not drinking all the time. What happens is that it gives the city a vibe. It gives the city a sense of people are out there eating, consuming, moving around, so it becomes a 24-hour city. We are known as a conservative city. So guess what? Talent, young talent, wants to be on the West Coast, wants to be in New York, wants to be in other areas where it's happening. I'm not saying that we've got to disrespect the neighborhoods. We have to take into account that maybe it will not work in Brighton because guess what? The BC and BU students do make a mess. But guess what? We can have better testing zones like in downtown Boston, like in the Seaport District. And not only that, we have to make city government be open late at night too. Why does it have to be restricted 9 to 5? Why can't we have a linkage with the universities, with transportation, so that we really truly become a 24-hour city? Because guess what? Young people are working until midnight.
George, we got it. We got it, and I really appreciate your energy, and I appreciate what you put on the table. Ed Glaser, he sounds like he's speaking your language in a lot of ways, but I want to come to Tim Namey first, because you're sitting on here with a big grin on your face. I'm just wondering what you heard in George's comment there.
No, I thought it was a very nice, basically reformulation of the case to be made for it. I think it's interesting, though. I guess I would push back a little bit on this idea that Boston. First of all, I think Boston is a world class city, and second of all, you know, I live in Boston and not New York or Madrid. You know, in part because it has a good quality of life and reasonable public safety. So, I think this sort of idea that Boston can't be a world class city, or that we can't have fun without being intoxicated, is a very interesting sort of view that, you know, unfortunately, I think it's important for us to acknowledge that nationally, the Northeast is a very heavy drinking area. And Boston, even for metropolitan cities in the Northeast, where rates of drinking and binge drinking are high, is highest. We are third in binge drinking. So anyways, I'd like to, again, go back to this idea, and I'd actually like to hear Ed's thoughts on broadening ideas for other forms of economic growth in the city, or other activities in the city that don't have to involve people that are drinking after 2 o'clock. Because while there may be some people who aren't intoxicated, you know, we know that most of the people who are drinking after 2 o'clock, as my grandmother said, you know, nothing much good comes of that for most people. And I'm sure they're not everybody drinking after two is intoxicated, but by and large, these are not people who are sort of contributing economically, except to the pockets of bar and club owners. So I'm looking for other, you know, for other ideas.
All right, Ed Glaser, our time is winding down, but I'll give the last word to you in this important conversation.
I think of this as being part of a general freedom to have fun agenda, right? And this is an area in which the downsides of freedom, by freedom I mean less regulation, are considerable, and so it needs to be weighed more seriously. In the case of freeing the food truck, which has been a passionate cause of mine for many, many years, I see far less of a downside. So, you know, things that basically enable the natural entrepreneurship, the natural innovation, the natural passion for entertaining others and finding opportunities to find joy in the city, that needs to be unleashed. And sometimes that requires a bit of investment in government infrastructure like that pier in Chicago, but often it just means lifting the shackles that have made it too difficult to start cafes, to start restaurants, to start all sorts of venues for fun in the city.
All right. Listeners, let us know what you think. You can post a comment at radioboston.org. Ed Glaser, professor of economics at Harvard University, thanks for joining us, as always.
Thank you.
And Tim Namey, he's an epidemiologist at Boston Medical Center, as well as an associate professor at BU Schools of Medicine and Public Health. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Listeners, stay with us. A lot more ahead on Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.